104.5 The Zone, 9:34. Welcome back to the Wake Up Zone. Coming up shortly, going to have Steve Merrill with us from Pro Sports Info. Two conference championship games. Get his thoughts on those. Both the home teams favored by a field goal.
The Weekend!
Yes. Thank you, Blaine. I don't think anybody looks forward to the weekend as much as Blaine does.
He's like the weather guy. I'm Family Guy. remember Ollie?
Yeah.
It's gonna be cold.
I loved Rhett Bryan's story about Brett Kern and his weather fascination. And
it's pretty impressive.
You know, even getting a weather degree. And the segment he did with the Weather Channel about, you know, what he goes through as a punter to prepare for the games and checking out the wind conditions and everything else.
I think my peeps at Channel 5 should let him do the weather one night.
Yeah, call up Bree and the crew over there.
Or Leland or whatever, right. Yeah. Absolutely.
Henry Rothenberg.
Sounds like he should be an attorney.
He's a good weatherman.
He's got a good wardrobe. Mm-hmm. I miss Charlie. I see Charlie in Bellevue, though.
Charlie's probably like on his way to a closing somewhere, isn't he? Is he working realty these days?
Yeah, he's working real estate. Yeah, Charlie Neese still looks like he's 14.
He always did.
Young man.
He never aged any the whole time he
worked. Young man, give your father's car back. Oh, look at Leland.
Yeah, Leland's been there, what, about 25, 30 years and looks the same as he did when he showed up?
I love Leland Statham. He's my guy.
He's everybody's guy. He's just a great dude.
But you know, I worked with him, and you know, I got to be friends with him and his wife Yolanda. They unsuccessfully tried to fix me up with some of their friends.
You should have listened to them. They probably
didn't ruin our friendship.
Better judgment.
Oh man,
you were there during some golden years of Channel 5.
I was.
You guys did a great job.
Well, it was fun.
All right, let's bring in Steve Merrill from Pro Sports Info. Hope you have a golden weekend. Steve, what's going on this morning?
Hey, Mark. How you doing?
All right. Let's talk about the two games on Sunday. We'll start with the NFC matchup. The Saints are favored by 3.5 at home against the high-scoring L.A. Rams. What do you think?
Yeah, Kev, you know, I mean, one thing we have here is we have the 1 and 2 seeds. It doesn't always happen that way. And after all the road teams covered in the wild card round and 3 of the 4 won outright, things kind of reverted back to normal last week with all 4 home teams winning straight up, 3 of the 4 covering the point spread. The only one that didn't, of course, were the Saints. Saints have the best chance of advancing to the Super Bowl of all 4 teams this week. As a 3.5-point favorite, they have a 62% mathematical chance of winning this game straight up. The Rams have a 38% chance. I do think New Orleans advances here. I like the scheduling setup for them with them remaining at home. You have a young Rams squad that won their first playoff game last week. They lost last year as a 6-point home favorite to Atlanta. They finally got over the hump this year with that one against Dallas. Both Dallas and Philly, mediocre teams. So this is really the matchup we thought we would get. But I think the situational setup favors the Saints. As far as the total in this one, it's currently sitting right around 56.5. It was 57 earlier in the week. The look-ahead line before the games last weekend was actually going to be 60.5. So it's a bit lower than we thought it would be. And I think that's because the Saints' offense was not dominant last week against Philly, but their defense has continued to play better. You know, I mentioned last week going into that game that if you throw out the Week 17 game where they didn't play anybody against Carolina, other than the Pittsburgh game, they had allowed 17 or less in 4 of their 5 other games down the stretch. I think the Rams' offense does a little bit better than the teams they've been facing, and I think the Saints' offense is better than the ones the Rams have been facing. So I think both teams will get some points here.
Give me some other things you're looking at in this game, maybe especially like the first half over-under.
Yeah, you know, once again, last week I mentioned on the show that I actually thought if you liked the under in the Eagle game, taking the first half under was the best way to play it because the Saints had been off not only for a week with the bye, but had really been off for 2 weeks. Due to the fact they didn't have to play anybody in Week 17. They'd already clinched the bye after the Week 16 win. And they did come out a bit slow. I mean, obviously they were down 14-0 early, and they had to play from behind. I think it'll be a little different this week. L.A. actually came out pretty quick. They didn't really have much of a rush from their bye week. And I think this week the first half will be a little bit more to the norm. One thing we do see often, and we'll talk about this, of course, in a couple of weeks with the Super Bowl, is that historically in the Super Bowl, the first half is lower scoring than the second half. And one of the reasons is because of the bye week once again. And also teams usually come out a little conservative in big games in general. They don't want to make that first mistake. And then the team that gets behind in the second half often has to start pushing. They have to take more chances. That often leads to, you know, fumble returns, defensive touchdowns, et cetera. So usually the first half is lower scoring than the second half, and that applies to the conference championship games as well.
Steve, what about the weather? How do you, especially in the New England game, how do you think that's going to, you know, the other one's inside, but the New England game, and which team in your mind would perform better under those conditions?
Yeah, I mean, last week everybody was worried about the weather in Kansas City. They had several inches of snow. They took the tarp off the field, and by the time the game started, there was never any snow in the field. And, you know, I know that game went under the total, but as you know, Mark, it really wasn't because of the weather. In fact, there were 31 points scored in the first half. The first half went over when the weather, you know, was at its worst. So, once again, I think weather is usually a bit of an overrated factor. I think where it could have been a factor, you know, would have been a team like the LA Chargers, who are a warm weather team. Obviously, they would have had even more trouble than Indianapolis. And the Colts, look, the Colts did struggle offensively last week. Kansas City put up most of the points, and Indianapolis is kind of an indoor team as well, even though they're in a cold city. But I think New England obviously will have no problem with the weather, and we saw last week that Kansas City can play in any conditions as well, especially the cold. The only time you really worry about it is if you get heavy, heavy snow in the field or if you get wind. And the wind last week was going to be at zero, so I was never worried about the wind. And the one other thing we'll mention, of course, it doesn't happen. It happens once every 30 years is fog. We saw that with that Bears-Eagles game 30 years ago. But wind and fog are really the only things that slow things down. In fact, rain and light snow can actually help scoring because, you know, the receivers, the running backs, they know which way they're cutting ahead of time, and the defenders are actually the ones who usually slip.
Interesting. We don't talk a lot about college basketball, Steve, but give me a couple of your play-on teams and also a couple that you'd probably fade.
Yeah, I mean, right now, just taking an overall kind of a macro look at college basketball, we are in conference play now. I've always said, you know, it's really two seasons when handicapping college hoops. It's the non-conference and the conference, and these young teams that are freshmen are now becoming sophomores, in my view, because they've got, you know, 20 games under their belt. There was a lot of talk a month or so ago, especially early in the year when Duke beat Kentucky, that there was odds out there, would they go undefeated? I think you got a 10-1 payoff at the time back in November. I'd mentioned I thought that was ridiculous. They've since lost two games. And one of the reasons I didn't think they'd go undefeated is I thought Virginia would be a very tough matchup for them. And lo and behold, you look at one of the undefeated teams remaining right now, it is Virginia at 16-0. Michigan, though, is quietly 17-0. I think that's probably the real sleeper if you're looking for one. Not a lot of people talking about Michigan still. I've got them about sixth in my power rankings. I've got Duke and Virginia as my top two teams right now. And look, Virginia did this last year. They ran the table in the ACC. They were as good as they've ever been, and then they were the only team in history to lose as a one seed to a 16 seed, as we all remember. That's the problem with Virginia is when they go ice cold offensively, they can struggle, but they play such good defense. They're so well coached. And the difference this year is they're playing with that chip on their shoulder, kind of like Alabama did last year when they lost the national title the first time. So I still think even though Duke's a very talented team, Virginia might be the most dangerous team out there, especially in the postseason.
Okay, Steve, couple picks for the weekend.
Yeah, speaking of college hoops, you know, last weekend I mentioned that William & Mary's coming off that triple overtime game, and they had to play Northeastern at home. They came out really flat. They lost by over 20. They just didn't have it from that triple OT. They've been off all week. They remain at home tomorrow afternoon for 3 o'clock central tip-off, and I think this is actually the time to come back and play them. Tony Shaver, the head coach, is over 70% play as a home team off a loss during his career. And then in football, we'll take a look at the Saints. I think they advance a 62% chance of winning that game straight up. I think they're the most likely team to advance to the Super Bowl, and I like the matchup against the Rams.
Have a great weekend. Thank you, Steve.
Thanks, guys.
All right, for ProSportsInfo.com, Steve Merrill, a regular on our show. 9:43 the time. This is 104.5 The Zone. We come back. One Tennessee team headed in a great direction. The other, not so much. We'll visit what's going on with that one in just a moment. More Wake Up Zone right after this. When you